Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi. We are going through the book of 1 Peter, the epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 4 is where we are right now. And I believe the Lord is going to give you understanding. In this chapter 4, Apostle Paul continues the exhortation to we believers. And we start from verse 1. We just read through it and I will stop and give some explanation or go refer to some other Bible verses in the scriptures. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now that is the beginning of chapter 4 of the letter of Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Because you have to remember it's a continuation of what he was saying in chapter 3. Because he said Christ has gone out to heaven. Now he's going and his authorities and powers are made subject unto him in chapter 3, verse 22. Now he's continuing that theme of exhortation. He said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, he suffered in the flesh, we are also to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind that we are ready to suffer for Christ. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He's talking about Christ. Once you give your life to Christ, you may suffer in the flesh, but remember Christ did the same thing for us. Verse 2 said that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So if we suffer in the flesh, we should remember that Christ did the same thing for us and is now living according to the will of God in us. Verse 3 said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to afford the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquets, and abominable idolatries. He said, you try to remember that now you are born again. Remember all the evil things you have done is enough. That's what he's saying. It's sufficient to have done all those things. Let the past thing that we have done, let that be enough for all those ungodly. Don't go back to it. That's what he's saying. The time past of our life may suffice us to avoid the will of the Gentiles. That is all that we have done in the past, let that be good enough. Leave it to the ungodly one and now face heaven, face holiness, face righteousness. Want to please God. Don't go back into lust and excess of wine, reveling as dancing, disco, banqueting, abominable idolatry. Say, we have had enough of that. Give it up. If you know where you are going, give up all this other lifestyle. That's what he's saying in that verse 3. So the time past of our life is sufficient enough to have wrought all this will of the Gentiles. In all this excess of wine, lavishness, greed, lust, banqueting, abundance, enough of that. Now face heaven, face the kingdom of God, face holiness and righteousness. Verse 4 says, where in the ungodly world we think evil of you, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them, to the same excess of riot, they will be speaking evil of you. When we give our life to Christ, we forsake all the former friends and friendly behavior of going to disco, party, ungodliness, or for fornication, adultery, embezzlement. When we forsake all of those things, the ungodly people that are seeing those things, we think we are strange. Because they couldn't understand that we have seen some better glory that we are pursuing. Pursue heaven, pursue something that is better. That is very important. Verse 5. He said, they shall give account to whom that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So these ungodly people that think you are strange, they will be giving account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Verse 6 says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Now this is another revelation Apostle Peter is giving to us here, that even those who are dead, these apostles started preaching about us. They are preaching to the people that are living. They say even the gospel was preached to those who are already dead. Like he said, Jesus Christ went to those spirits that were in prison, that were already dead on earth in the days of Noah, but they were in prison in hell. And Jesus Christ, 3 days, went to preach to them. So that's what for? It's for this purpose, that they may either be saved and live according to who they are living. They are not dead, that's why Christ can go and preach to them. They were living somewhere in the spirit. But they are going to be judged according to men in the flesh. That's what Apostle Peter said in verse 6. So for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. How can you preach to them that are dead? You're not preaching to their body. You are preaching, they are preaching to their spirit. Not we and her. It's just God that went to preach to them in the spirit. That's what he was talking about when he said Christ went for when he was dead, he went to preach to the spirits in prison. They were in prison in the place called death or hell, and they were preached to by Christ for those 3 days. Why? That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but they live according to God in this, because they are alive somewhere and God can see them. So if they repented and believe, then they can be transferred from that place to paradise. And many people believe that some of them were transferred from that place to paradise for those 3 days. Like Jesus Christ was telling the thief on the cross that today you will be with me in paradise. But that thief on the cross was a thief until that day when he confessed Christ that, remember me. That single utterance, because he believed that this is the Messiah indeed, and in single utterance, I remember when you come to your kingdom, Jesus Christ gave him grace that you'll be with me in paradise. That saved that man. He would have gone to hell if he had died in that sin of armed robbery that he was doing, that made the Roman Empire crucify him. He would have died and go to hell, but he got his mercy right before he died. The same people, those who were in hell, they didn't get opportunity to see that, and they were in hell by the time Christ went to them. They could repent. Some of them could, not all of them. Some of them could repent. Others may not, because it depends on whom they are. See, Christ said, I know my sheep. Just like the two thieves on the cross. One confessed Christ, the other one was lambasting him and said, you are really the Christ. Save yourself and us. And he went to hell. While the other one said, don't you fear God? We were all justly being condemned, but this man has done nothing wrong. He went with him to paradise. So that is why it depends on whom you are, whether you are going to paradise or you are going to hell. And it depends on whom you confess. And you will confess what you believe. And you see, if you don't believe what you are preaching right now, you won't confess it. But if you believe what you are preaching right now, confess it and God will be standing by you. And you will be one that have a hope of eternal life. Verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4. So, but the end of all things is at hand. Now he's telling about prophecy now. That we are close to the end of all things right now. And you know that, because I also know that. The end of the world is closer by. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That's like prayer for you and me, that are believers. Be sober. All this, we must go to this disco. We must go to this party. Oh, favorite. Oh, this party. Be sober, my brother. Think of where you are going from here if you die. And so be also sober and watch unto prayer. Verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity, that's love, among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Love of God, love one another. He says, you cover the multitude of sins. Actually, the Bible said, love is the fulfillment of all the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is the fulfillment of all the commandments. And that's why he says, we cover a multitude of sins. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not tell lies. Thou shalt not do this. All of those laws of Moses, they are covered in thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Just love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's saying. He covers all the multitude of sins. Verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That is, hospitable to one another. If your brethren came around, you want to hospitalize or be hospitable to them, welcome them into your house, but without grudging. Verse 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Minister your gift, whatever is a gift, it could be spiritual gift, it could also be physical gift. The money you have is a gift from God. You have a lot of a very good job and you are making good salary, it's a gift from God. You use that to minister to other people as a gift. It's a minister one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are a steward of what God put in your hand. Like the ministry he has given to our hands, we are steward of it and we are to do it faithfully. And the money you give to us to use for the ministry, we are a steward of it. We have to use it effectively for the gospel and put it in the right field that will bring more result. So we are to be a good steward of the grace of God, the manifold grace of God, which is the gift he has given to us. Whatever is the grace that you have, make sure you are being accountable to it, accountable to God, be a good steward of it, is what he's saying. Verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, this is exhortation one by one. If you are going to speak at all, speak like oracle. What is an oracle of God? That, because what you say must come to pass. That's what the oracle is. Oracle is what God says, something it must come to pass. And the Bible has already given us that. Jesus Christ gave it to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Christ said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever, that's everybody, anybody can claim it, but say, we believers have to use that freely. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say shall come to pass. What you say shall come to pass. Believe what you say shall come to pass. Then that if you believe that and say it shall come to pass, if you say it and you believe it, then you are an oracle of God if you are able to say it and it comes to pass. Also, so that's what Apostle Peter is saying, that if any man is speaking, speak as an oracle of God, as the oracles of God, so that what you say shall come to pass, because you are saying it in faith, not doubting, not, and so then you don't want to say something evil that you don't really want to pass. Also, you don't want to curse people. You don't want that to happen. You don't want to speak evil about your sons or your daughters or your spouse. That will be like a curse. You want it to come to pass? If you don't want it to come to pass, why say it? Because what you say shall come to pass, what Jesus Christ said. And he said you have to speak as oracles of God. Very important to take caution of that. Guide your mind. That's why he was saying earlier about that, keep your tongue from evil. Because if you know that what you say, you are saying anything you say as an oracle of God, that's why you shouldn't be saying just jokes that you don't mean, or dirty jokes, how much more just joke to make people laugh, that could just be just lies or make believe. Why say it? Just keep your mouth shut. Be praising God rather than that, just praise God. And we have to all of us have to practice that. Sometimes we may offend by forgetting who we are and participating in those jokes. But when you remember who you are, this is what Apostle Paul said, practice to keep yourself, keep your mouth shut, bridle your tongue, practice it until it becomes part of you, and then you make you be quiet also. So that when now you open your mouth to say something that you believe and you want it to happen, it will happen because you are speaking as oracles of God. That's we believers. We are to speak as oracles of God. If any man minister is preaching, teaching, praying for the sick, anything you are doing like that, let him do it as of the ability which God give it, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So whatever you are doing, do it with the ability God has given to you. That's what he's saying here. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not so. Now it's changing gear right now. It's going to tell us more about what is going to happen or what is happening in our current life. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now, there's going to be a persecution. He's pointing it out in his own days. When he was writing this, maybe the persecution had not started then, because there was persecution in the days of Apostle Peter too, that he saw coming. And that was what he was actually referring to. But it's not just for them in that generation. It's another persecution is still coming at the end of the world that's going to be severe upon believers. According to the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 said, the Antichrist, which is the beast, as was reported in chapter 13, will wage war against the saints of God. And overcome them means many of them will be killed through this Antichrist, arrested, imprisoned, but some will be protected by God. That has been prophesied in the book of Revelation chapter 13, and we know it started for the end of the world. But when their own time came in the days of Apostle Peter, they thought that was it, really. They thought that was the persecution they had been thinking about. Because they were thinking the emperor then was the Antichrist. See? But see, the Antichrist is from that area too, from the emperor of Rome and so on. But it's another one coming at the end of the world. Because God, what they didn't realize is that God gave mankind 6,000 years. And when they were preaching, they were just the 4,000th year. Christ came at the end of 4,000 years. So they started the 5,000 year I'm preaching about. So they thought this is it. But see, we can look back and say 2,000 years past, we now understand that the 6,000 year God gave to mankind is expiring in our dispensation now. And so the Antichrist that have been prophesied in the book of Revelation chapter 13, prophesied 2,000 years ago, is just about to show up. Why? Because what the Bible said the Antichrist will do, It will mark the whole world. Nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark of this beast. That is just coming to view in our generation now. Now they are what they call the sheep under the skin, that nobody, when they begin to introduce that, that it will be like the monetary system that will be used in the end of the world. And the Bible said that is what nobody should take under their skin, because it's an evil, evil technology. Evil technology that the devil is introduced to the world. To mark the world, in their forehead he will put it, or in their hand. Somewhere here they are injecting that thing, like a sheep under the skin. And the prophets have said it in the book of Revelation chapter 13, that he made the whole world. When he said the false prophet that looked like he has two horns, that's representing the American government of the world. USA, Canada, or North and South America, they are represented by those two horns because they claim to be the, because it looked like a lamb. That's, they look like the Christian countries. Christian countries, that's what it means, countries, lamb, Christian countries. See, but it is that government that is making them take the mark of the Antichrist. That is just talking about the technology is coming from that part of the world. The technology of putting ships under the skin is coming from that part of the world. Now European countries are taking it, which is the real beast, is the European continent. That's the beast with seven heads and ten horns. That's the European continent, where Rome was part of it. Rome was the beginning of it, the Roman Empire. Now it's now European countries. See, that is what was prophesied by Apostle John in the book of Revelation chapter 13. He said the beast came forth, that's the European countries. Then the false prophet with two horns, that's the American continents, American countries. But the American countries were where the technology is coming from. When you look at that, so he said he was one that make fire come down from heaven. That's what you see when they send shuttle to heaven. When the shuttle is coming down, it's like fire coming down from the sky. We saw it on television. When one of the shuttle was coming down, the show on TV, it was like fire coming down from the sky. That was what Apostle John saw in his vision. So he made fire come down from heaven before men. He also made the image to speak. That's the television. It came from the Americans. Image speaking, that's television. That's what we are seeing right now, image speaking. But that's just talking about technology that this government of the world will be introducing. But see, in the days of Apostle John, they talk, what kind of a thing? This is deception. See, that's the, but we can see that it's just talking about technology right now. But the deception is that they will make men take the sheep under their skin that God said don't take in Revelation chapter 14. See, anybody that take the mark of the beast or put their number under their skin on their forehead, they will partake of the wrath of God. The first wrath of God in the book of Revelation chapter 15 and chapter 16, the first wrath that was poured, the vows of the wrath of God poured upon mankind, the first thing was plague of boil, maybe it's a noisome sore upon all them that take the mark of the sheep. It looked like what they thought would not be cancerous suddenly turned to cancer. They put the sheep under their skin, it turned to cancer. And that paralysis is the first plague, what God told them, that don't take the mark of the beast. They put it on their forehead, and then they are the beginning of the sore. Go and read in the book of Revelation chapter 16. Let me point that one to you. That was what the Bible was prophesying, but it was said to be deception according to Apostle John. But we can understand it's technology that gone sour. God said, don't partake. And those that partake will be in serious trouble. Here is chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, chapter 16 and 9, verse 1 and 2. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worship his image. So that was the first judgment, was this thing they put under their skin suddenly becomes sore. And every one of them that have it have this cancer, if you can call it cancer. And that was what God has warned them not to partake of. See? Because the first rod is that. Because why is that? Because that was the mark the Satan was putting upon. God said, I'm going to put my name upon their forehead. God, Satan said, oh, I will put my name upon their forehead. They can't buy us unless they take the mark of the beast. And that's really what God is judging. God is going to judge the physical world and join the spiritual world. And this is what has been prophesied in the book of Peter. Apostle Peter also begin to allude to it when we are reading right now, where he said in chapter 4, we are still in chapter 4, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, verse 12, which is to try you, because the fiery trial is that there will be no way to buy or sell unless they take the mark, and those who know the truth will not take the mark. So it will be trial times. Many will run out of scatter, run on in the jungle. God say you will protect some in the wilderness. Revelation chapter 3 mentioned that I will protect, verse 10 or so, or verse 12, protect some in the wilderness. But it's just for a temporary few years before the rapture took place, or they will be taken out before the wrath of God is poured upon the earth, in the book of chapter 15, 16. But those are all, we have preached all of this in many other places. That's why we want you to keep learning by reading some of our literature, or asking for more of our exhortations, or listening to some of our sermons on radio. You get some of these that we have preached in many other places. Now, he went further, he said, think it not strange concerning this fiery trial which is to try you. They were expecting that there will be a trial in their time. They were thinking that was the end of it. As though some strange thing happened unto you. Verse 30 says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So whatever we suffer or not, because we believe in Christ, like the end of the world, when the believers that know the truth will not take the mark of the beast in their hand or in their forehead, and that will be a trouble time because they won't be able to buy or sell. It's like when they face off all the currencies, no more money, except you have that ship under your skin where it's going to be registering your money in the bank. If you have any money in the bank, that's how you're going to be able to use it to buy whatever you need to buy. By the time they do that, anyone that does not take the mark under their skin or on their forehead will not be able to buy or sell. And that they are now suffering for Christ, also because the reason why they refuse to take it is because the Bible says so. So that's why they are not going to take it. So that's why they say, then you are suffering for Christ. But you may be glad, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. How am I going to eat then? It's a suffering time here, but God will protect some. Some may even be killed, for they may begin to arrest those who refuse to take the mark of the beast. You see? But we gladly die for our faith. Be ready to die because, you know, in a few years they will be resurrected again to live in Christ forever. Why would somebody take a man just for a few years and then be destroyed in the world? Destroyed forever? It's better to suffer now and enjoy later than to enjoy now and suffer for the rest of eternity. Verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Who are the busybodies? If you keep in prognosing into other people's matters that backfire on you because they now take it of you, then it's just your fault. That's why I say, don't be busybody. Pray for them and leave them alone. Verse 16. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, because you preach to them, they get upset with you, you tell them the truth, they want to beat you, you are preaching the gospel of salvation to them that hell is, it's a definite place, they don't want to go there, let you repent, and they didn't believe it, and they wanted to beat you up, you say, you are suffering for Christ. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Glorify God that you are suffering for Christ, because then you are now in the class of prophets, because they persecuted the prophets that were before you too. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, they persecuted the prophets that were before you. So you should rejoice. Let me read that in Matthew chapter 5, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave us his own exhortation of, if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, he said, rejoice. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Make sure it is falsely they are saying it. So that if somebody said, when we are preaching, when we were in Africa, and I was still not married then, and I have some people in my fellowship, both men and women, and some people are unbelievers. They just want to mock, and they were saying, try to be before my face and say, oh, this man is just making a, he's just making people believe that he's righteous. That gay that has been coming to the church, he has been having sex with that gay. A lie. They just make up a lie. You see? But after I left the place, they were confessing that this man was different, and they gave their life to Christ. But they will accuse you. That's what I was supposed to say. Make sure it is falsely. See? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They were saying it falsely against me for Christ's sake. Trying to make me look bad that this man is just making it up. He's going about preaching. I was fake. When they have no evidence, they will accuse me right before my face that lady that had been coming to my church, to my fellowship, I must have been having sex with that lady. I said, that's a lie of the devil, you see. But Jesus Christ said, make sure it is falsely for your sake. Verse 12, I say, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's what I'm trying to point to. The Lord Jesus Christ already giving us that they will talk evil against you falsely for my sake. Remember what he said about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said he was Beelzebub. He said he was talking to this publicans and harlots. You can imagine what they would be thinking of. He was talking to harlots. They would have said he must have been sleeping with them too. He was talking to publicans. He must have been getting money from them. This publican that are stealing money from us, they are sponsoring him. So that's why the Pharisees were always against Jesus. But he was there to convert this publican. He said, they will say every manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But make sure it's false, because they are false accusers. They may rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And that's what Apostle Peter also was referring to when he said, if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 4 is what I'm back to. Say, for the verse 17 says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, he's warning us. God is going to bring judgment, but it's going to start from his own house. So if you are a minister of the gospel or you are a believer, and the accusation they are bringing against you by the men of the world is actually not false, then God is going to judge you too. And judgment is going to start from the household of God. You pastors that are embezzling money and gripping the people, the congregation, and putting money in your pocket to make yourself multimillionaires, God is going to bring judgment from his own household first. So Apostle Peter is telling you, judgment will begin from the house of God. And if it begins from us, what can be the end when it comes to the unbelievers? God is going to destroy them, seriously. But in his household, he's going to bring some judgment too. Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The righteous is scarcely saved. Because when God brings judgment, even those that claim to be barely making it righteous, God says, you will be scarcely saved. What about the sinner? Well, they will be in the lake of fire. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. If you suffer according to the will of God, commit your life to the hand of God in well-doing as a faithful and as unto a faithful creator. God will take care of you if you just trust in him. And we trust that the Lord God is blessing you with this exhortation. We continue in the next broadcast. God bless you.